to the Lord a moment. Loving Heavenly Father, again we thank you for this time of being gathered together around thy word, but more importantly around thyself. We have the written word in our hearts with the living word. We're very thankful that he's able to be on his throne once again. We know that he'll never be taken away from there. Now we ask that thou would guide and direct, we go into thy word, thou would open the spiritual hearts and minds of each of us, not so much what the speaker says, but what the word says and what the Holy Spirit says to each of us. In turn, we're all different. Our God uses us in the different forms and in different ways. These things we ask in his name and for his sake. Amen. Beginning with the first verse. After these things, Paul departed from Athens and came to Corinth. He found a certain Jew named Aquila, born in Pontus, lately come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all Jews to depart from Rome, and came unto them. And because he was of the same craft, he abode with them and worked, for by their occupation they were tent makers. He reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath, and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. And when Silas and Timothy were come from Macedonia, Paul was pressed in the spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. And when they opposed themselves, and blasphemed, he shook his raiment and said unto them, Your blood be upon your own heads, I am clean. From now on I go to the Gentiles. And he departed from there and entered into a man's house named Titus Justus, one who worshipped God, whose house was next to the synagogue. And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all his house, and many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. Then spoke the word of to Paul, spoke the Lord to Paul in the night by a vision, Be not afraid, but speak and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have many people or much people in this city. And he continued there a year and 6 months, teaching the words of God among them. And when Galileo was the deputy of Achaia, the Jews made an attack with one accord against Paul, and brought him to the judgment seat, saying, This fellow persuadeth men to worship God contrary to the law. And when Paul was now about to open his mouth, Gallio said unto the Jews, If it were a matter of wrong or wicked crime, O ye Jews, reason would that I should bear with you. But if it be the question of words and names and of your law, look ye to it, for I will be no judge of such matters. And he drove them from the judgment seat. Then all the Greeks to Sosthenes, the chief ruler of the synagogue, and beat him before the judgment seat. And Gallio cared for none of those things. May the Lord bless the reading of his precious word. I'd like to think of a few things here in the first three verses. And one of the portions we find as to his occupation. He was a tent maker. But what was his business? Preaching the gospel. Well, you and I, we might be an electrician. We might be a doctor. We might be a dentist, nurse, what have you. But our occupation should be preaching the word. Speaking the word of God to those that we come in contact with. That was his primary business. And then we find that there was no charge for that gospel. Let us look at 1 Corinthians. Keep your fingers here because you're going to be going back and forth. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And we'll start with verse 18. What is my reward then? Verily that I preach the gospel. I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my right in the gospel. For though I am free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Not to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law is under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law as without law, being not without the law to God, but under the law of Christ, that I might gain them that are without the law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. Now you can carry some of these things a little too far. I can remember when Billy Graham, only he's too young to remember that, let his hair grow long, like all of the young people that were around. And ultimately, he found it didn't pay. You don't become like them to reach them. If you don't put them down, you're willing to speak to them. You're willing to reach out to them. If I don't become more wicked to reach those that are in the gutter. I still try to walk a straight line, but I still love them. We're to love them no matter what their situation or where they're from, what's wrong with them. We may not love what they believe in. We may not love what they do. In fact, we shouldn't. Christ will. And then I'd like to make a statement I found here. I'll read it if I can. It's about Claudius. We noted here in verse 2 that because Claudius commanded that all the Jews to depart from Rome. Claudius, he was the fourth emperor in AD 254. His full name was, here's a name for you. Tiberius Claudius Drusus Nero Germanicus. You find that here's the first place you find the word Nero. That turned out to be evidently his son by his fourth wife. And then that Herod Agrippa is involved here. Herod Agrippa I used his influence in favor of Claudius. Now, Claudius evidently was not only a senator, he'd been a great general. A whole lot of them had been that. But you've got to remember that this was, up until a short time before, this was a republic. And then it became an empire. The emperor. In favor of Claudius being chosen as emperor. And in return for these efforts, the emperor made or added to Agrippa's territories Judea, Samaria, and some parts of Lebanon. It was Claudius who, in the account of the tumult of the Jews, banished all the Jews from Rome. It was because of the tumult of the Jews. And for those that ever have any dealings with the Jews, they can become very obnoxious. And you'll see them in the streets arguing with one another. Ralph and walk away like nothing had ever happened. The next time, see one other higher. Nothing had taken place. But that's just the way they are. That's the way they deal in their dealings with other people, and particularly amongst themselves. And don't be afraid to argue with them because they enjoy it. I personally don't. But they do. And we find the latter part of it. He was poisoned by his fourth wife, Agrippina, the mother of Nero. It's a fine bunch. And then we find that Nero murdered his own mother. All right. Then we go on to this another portion, verse 2. Well, I want to complete where we were here on the first portion of it. Second Corinthians, 11th chapter. We start with verse 7. Have I committed an offense in abasing myself that ye might be exalted? Because I preached to you the gospel of God freely, I robbed other churches, taking wages of them to do you a service. And when I was present with you and lacked, I was chargeable to no man. For that which was lacking to me, the brethren who came from Macedonia supplied. And in all things I have kept myself from being a burdensome unto you, so will I keep myself. If we read some of these things, we wonder how some of these preachers of the day would do. If they don't have a big fat salary, they move on. You find here Paul isn't concerned with salary. There were those that sent monies to him to help him, and he in turn used the monies to help with those that he was speaking with. And 3 John. John 3. Seventh verse. Because for his name's sake I went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. That's the implication. Because you were either church, Gentile, or Jew, but it applied the Gentile, what he's speaking of. All of those that are not saved, you take nothing from the worldling. And yet you go some of these places, and they'll have one, even as many as 3 offerings, sometimes more, in one meeting. The basket's always going around looking for money. What does he say? Because for Christ's sake, they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. God doesn't need the devil's money. Matthew 10. Matthew 10, and verse 8. For to heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons, freely ye have received and freely give. These were those that went out 2 by 2. God give them the power to do these things. He did all these wonders. The main wonder is the Word of God. You talk about miracles. The greatest miracle that's ever comes about is when a person trusts Christ as Savior. What a price. With the blood of the Son of God, they may be redeemed. They may be bought back. And we find that there was no charge for the gospel. 1 Corinthians 9. These things overlap a bit here. 1 Corinthians, the 9th chapter. Oh, excuse me. Yeah, that's right. Well, we went through that portion. It is, I've got this print so small. Be free of all obligations. He was, 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, beginning with verse 13. For what is it in which ye were inferior to other churches, except it be that I myself was not burdensome to you? Forgive me this wrong. How many would like that forgiveness? Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. That's who he's seeking, not what they have in their pockets or their wallets. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. So the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved.
And how true that is. Many people going out there, the harder they seem to work for the Lord, the less respect or love is shown to them. I can remember as a boy, the love of denominations was a lot different than when the preacher would come around. We lived in a little town, there was no assembly. And he'd visit all of the folks at least once a month. And the comic books didn't have even the flash you've got in it today. It was more violence and things like that, war. And when we see him coming, we run, hide them. The women, if they had Women's Day or Ladies' Day magazine. Women's Day, is it? Some sort of magazine. It was a ladies' magazine. They would usually hide them. It wasn't that there was anything wrong with them. When Mr. Lenzner, if he saw them, he would ask, "Don't you have something better to read?" What was he implying? The Word of God. These were lovely men of God. They lived witnessing for Christ. Like our assembly used to witness out on the Indian reservation. And he came from Lockport and preached out there with them. He knew what the assemblies were. Eventually went back to Germany and set up a little system very similar to that. 2 Thessalonians. Second Thessalonians 3, verses 8 and 9. "Neither did we eat any man's bread for nothing, but wrought with labor and travail night and day, that we might not be chargeable to any of you. Not because we have not power, but to make ourselves an example unto you to follow us." That's a good example. Not out there to make money. Out there to preach the word. How these men did it, I don't know, night and day. Carolyn's about the only one. Brother Richard might remember. Did you remember Mr. Horn? There used to be a little assembly down in Hanover. Did you know that? In Hanover. Hanover. Mm-hmm. And so until they passed away, we had no idea about it because chapel owned the property. And he and his wife are 14 miles. I don't know where they lived in relation to the chapel here. But after the morning meeting, Sunday school, the morning meeting, they would walk because the Sunday school was in the afternoon. Every brother would take care of the Sunday school. They would walk all the way out there, have a meeting, and walk back. How many of us could do it? Well, I'll put it another way. How many of us could do it? Not so much whether we would, but could we? And my wife can remember Mr. Thompson. I used to live sort of catty corner across from us when I was my last bit in the service. I lived on the same street he lived on. And probably Joe might remember, and I know Barbara probably has seen it, the shredded wheat boxes that showed the Niagara Falls on it. Remember that? He was the baker there. He was the chief baker. He worked all day. And Carolyn can tell you, invariably, when you looked across the street, he was in the book. And for few of us have that gift. He would go for weeks like that with hardly any sleep at all. And he'd miss one meeting. He'd slept in. And he was ready to go again for another 3 or 4 weeks. But they knew their Bible. Not only did they know it, they could quote it. Mr. Horn standing up here one time, I can remember one time particularly, there was a fairly big portion. He did it a number of times, but particularly this time. He never even opened up a Bible. While you were reading, he was quoting. That's the reason they were able, no matter what the situation, they had to answer. That's not only a gift, it is a gift, but it's hard work. That gift comes from hard work. We were up at Notesville. Last time I heard Mr. Gibbs. E.P. Gibbs, and he sung one of his songs this morning. He sung a few others too. But a young man came up to him and asked him, how do you know, or how are you able to remember so much? That lad, there's only one answer. You put your nose to the grindstone and you keep it. In other words, it's not an easy road. You have to go over and over and over. Some have seen my little notebook with verses in it. I haven't been as steadfast here the last few weeks as I should be. Normally every day I go over at least 2 to 4 pages. And when I get through, I go back to it again. I still forget. A few young folks have got good memories and don't go against your parents' wishes. That's what I did. I'm paying for it. Study it. Learn it. All right. 1 Thessalonians, chapter 2, 9th verse. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Constantly preaching the word. Almost all of us have heard of Ironside, Dr. Ironside. His father, a dear brother from Toronto, and he was living in Detroit at the time, they would go across the river and preach on the street corners in Toronto every weekend. Now, when he became a little older, he was teaching Sunday school wherever they were going. The father had gone to be with the Lord. But this dear brother, every time he came by to visit, he was the one that answered the door. You know what the first question was? You were born again yet, lad? He knew that was coming. Every time he saw this dear old brother, until he got to the point he wanted his mother, if he thought it was him, get his mother to answer the door so he could slip out. Ultimately, that young man came to the Lord and he became one of the all-time greats, especially in the latter years. His commentaries are all over the world. So we find that he didn't do anything for pay. Everything he did was to the glory of the Lord. And he was able to do physical work. Now, some aren't able. Like Raymond. You couldn't expect Raymond to go out and try to do physical work. But these brethren and sisters need help. Those that are on the mission field need help. In most cases on the mission field, our monies go farther than they do here. In some cases, they're getting very close. Ours plus the value, our value is the money, the value of our money is going down. And then we see, let's see, as to his associates, Aquila and Priscilla, Acts 18 and 2. Well, that's right where we're at. All right. I've lost that. They were co-workers. And then they were in Acts 18 and 18. Let's look at that. Acts 18:18. And Paul, after this, tarried there yet
a good while, then took his leave of the brethren and sailed from there to Syria. And from with him Priscilla and Aquila, having shorn his head in Caesarea, for he had a vow. Now we don't know how long, as our brother mentioned earlier this morning, how long he had this vow. But here was two co-ministers, if you would. They helped minister to him, and they ministered to those that they came in contact with. That's my place. They were godly. They were wise teachers. They kept to their sphere. Verse 26. He began again to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom, when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. That was Apollos. Remember, he had the teaching of the baptism of John, and he needed more teaching. Now, one thing you've got to give credit here. Apollos was what? Very eloquent. Very gifted. There were two tent makers, and his wife. Yet he sat down with him, and he learned. He was willing to learn. He happened to have an open mind and an open heart. I think all of you have heard me mention Mrs. Thomas. She used to go to Walnut Grove Baptist. When the men lost their Sunday school teacher, they wanted her to teach. Well, she was a wonderful teacher. Everything I know of her, she was a wonderful woman. She was up in her 80s at the time, if I'm not mistaken. Snow white hair. The pastor went to her for help and advice, direction. She never lorded it over them. She told the men that time, she said, "This is the first and only time I will teach this class. It is not my place to teach it. You will look out a man amongst yourselves to do the teaching." She was absolutely right, and they were wrong. If God said it, we believe it, and we should keep it. Whether we understand it or not, He has His specific purposes for that. They were godly, wise teachers, and they kept their sphere. They were also bold helpers, as to their testimony in Romans 16. Romans 16, 3 and 4. Greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus, who have for my life laid down their own necks, unto whom not only I give thanks, but also all the churches of the Gentiles. This brother and sister were willing to lay their lives down for them. In the Word of God, we're supposed to be willing to lay our lives down for one another, are we? Would you? Well, it's one thing to think it, another thing to face it and know what you're going to die for. We're getting way out of line here, but there's stories told. Switzerland, twin brothers. One was a born again Christian, of course, the parents were Christians. One was a murderer. In prison, he was to be hanged. And his twin went to visit him. He told him his clothes were on. He wouldn't do it. There was one knocking cold. He switched clothes with the guilty person. Of course, when guards in that game couldn't tell them because of the clothing, the looks, but the clothing told them who was who. The innocent one actually died for his brother. That brother ultimately became saved, they got saved. Can you imagine giving your life not knowing that one would be saved? You might be giving your life and just the word throwing it away.
as there are cases that some do not trust, though another one gives their life for them. Well, you think that's something? God of creation gave his life for you and me. How many have put their trust in him?
A hospitable,
you find that in 1 Corinthians 16:19. Time is gone, so we'll just quickly skim through this.
And then his message to the Jews was rejected in verses 3 through 6. Its fervency, in verse 5, we find it was pressed,
urged. He did everything in his power to urge them or get them to trust. They rejected. Don't do that.
The result, verse 6, open blasphemy and opposition.
Paul had done his duty.
I'd like to look at 1 Corinthians 9. 16. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yea, a woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel of God, how you and I feel.
How many tracts do we give out? We don't now necessarily have to give them out in the street. Give them out to people you come in contact with. You write a letter, we're tracting it. The bills, the young ones, I don't have very many of them, I hope. We're tracking it. You know who it's going to reach. It may not even be the person that you send it to that will get saved as a result of it.
Particularly, I'd like to look at Ezekiel, and then we'll close. Time has passed. Ezekiel 33:1-5. Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their borders, and set him for their watchman, if when I see the sword, come unto the land, he blow the trumpet, and warn the people, that whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet, and taketh not warning, if the sword come, and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet, and took not warning. His blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come, and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, and in his blood will I inquire at the watchman's hand. And friend, we're all watchmen. All of us are watchmen. It's our job to warn those that we come in contact with. If they reject the message, that's the responsibility. But if you and I don't tell them, we're lost. We're going to give an account for it. That doesn't say we won't be in heaven. We'll give an answer for it here. If nothing else, our conscience. But we are going to pay for it somehow. It's our place to give the warning. We are the watchmen or watch people, however you want to put it. Let's look at the love. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee again for going through Thy Word. We know that there is nothing here of the speaker. These are very serious statements that are being made. True statements, but they're God's statements. In fact, each of us
Many times we think it's the other person. We find also in Acts 1 and 8, that each of us are witnesses. Ultimately, a watch person, one that gives warning or tells the truth. We tell the truth of what God says. We're here to give warning to those that we come in contact with. Very possibly, we'd like to think all of them would come to know Christ as Savior. Know that when the greatest of all teachers was here, the portion was but a handful, and that was the very Lord Himself. And that even you, for those that helped put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. Certainly we would hope that as a result of their death, they may have come to know Him whom to know is life eternal. They were watchmen. When they would look at the Word, there's no way that they could not realize that this was the Son of God, this was the Messiah. It wasn't the Messiah they wanted. They were wanting the other Messiah, the conquering Messiah. Realizing that He was one and the same person. And the first time it was an offering as a sacrifice. He came to save. Sets foot on earth again through becoming as the King and the great Judge. Father, may we take these thoughts very seriously. We heed to the warning from Thy Word. Know that that watchman that doesn't give the signal or the warning has to hope in some way, some form. We ask that Thou would be with each of us as we all go to our several homes. With Thy people in every place. Think of all of those that were caught up in all of these storms of late, Father. Very likely the Lord's people, many have been caught up in it. We ask that Thou would super needed blessing. Certainly we would like, if it were possible, like in the case of Raymond, there were just certain things damaged. We think of our brother out on Bight Island. They battened down the windows. The storm went through, and the only thing that was damaged, the gutter was torn off the building. 140-mile-an-hour winds. The building was made such that even those in the neighborhood came there to stay with them. The chapel was built in like manner. Thank you for the wisdom of these people. Thank you for the fact that that was there, that those might be saved. Pray, Father, that those that were saved in those buildings may come to know the One whom is will save eternally. These things we ask in His name and for His sake. Amen. And that was quite a letter I read about Ethan Hart. He reads occasionally meetings. And when that storm went through, very little damage. It was amazing. But the trees were down all around the place. Other places were all smashed to pieces. And the chapel and the home where they had for the keep of the children. The only thing came off was a piece of gutter.